Christmas is a story of many things. There's a lot happening in this story. That's why it survived for so long. That's why we keep telling it year after year, despite its inconsistencies and its strangeness and its great leaps of faith, its metaphors, its fables, its need for us to just receive it. But tonight I want to talk about three parts of it. The hubris in the story, the humility, and the beginning of a dare. The hubris, of course, comes from the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor says, all the world must be counted. All the world. Augustus, the Roman Emperor, doesn't actually control all of the world, but it's a testament to him and his understanding of his role that he thinks he controls all of the relevant world, all of the world worthy of being counted. It's because of his hubris, his out of proportion pride and sense of self-worth, that he inconveniences whole populations, makes whole populations move, do as he commands and as he demands, even those who are vulnerable, even those who are pregnant. It is his hubris that puts lives at risk. But Mary, with humility, complies. Maybe also with some anger, some resentment, but humbly, she and her husband Joseph do as they are told. And it's a total mess. It goes just as predictably wrong as you can imagine. They don't reach safe harbor in time, not before the baby comes. And of course, the baby has to start coming. And there isn't anywhere to stay. There's no clean room. There's no hospital. But the pains, they hurt and they won't be stopped. So fine. Corner of a barn, that'll do. Because it has to do. There's no other choice. What was Mary thinking in that moment? When she learned of her pregnancy outside of marriage, it was announced to her by an angel and she sang a song of joy. But here she is, a respectable married woman now. But she's in the dark and on some dirt. So is she wondering to herself, did that angel lie? Was that angel from something or someone else other than God? We don't know what Mary thought. We don't hear from her again. Although she ends up receiving strange and wondrous guests who affirm everything the angel said. They affirm and they confirm who their child would be. Mary doesn't sing for joy again. What we learn is that she takes all she has witnessed and ponders it in her heart. The contrast between Augustus and Mary is enough to ponder for a lifetime. On one hand, a man who thinks he controls the whole world and he can boss everyone around who is in it. And on the other, this woman who has made herself so available to holiness that nothing in the world, not even propriety, can control her. Another human who thinks he deserves and is entitled to more than other humans have. And one rare human who's so grateful to be able to give and has no need to brag about it when she delivers beauty. Augustus, who tells the world, I am a god. And Mary, who gives every fiber of her being over to God. The contrast between hubris and humility is always edifying to study. But there's something else emerging in this story. Something else that takes breath and balls along with the baby Jesus. It's the beginning of the dare. Now, for those of us who've had basic cable in the last 10 years, at Christmas time when we hear the word dare, we might be thinking of a movie called A Christmas Story, where a bunch of kids are double dog and triple dog daring each other, right? The dare in that movie is for one kid to lick a freezing cold flagpole right? And he gets his tongue stuck. So the dare in the Christmas story is not quite so ill-informed. And it's a little bit more powerful. It is a dare to believe that our lives are more important than we have ever imagined before. With a story like Christmas taken on its own, it would be easy to believe that only a chosen few, only even a chosen two, Mary and Jesus, have the power to change the world. Mary got visited by an angel. Jesus lived for love beyond the cross. We're just ordinary people. We're just ordinary people buffeted by the hubris of human powers, inconvenienced and put at risk by their greed and by their disregard. We've not received angels who make us strong enough to be not afraid, and our touch doesn't heal human bodies. We're ordinary people. And yet Joseph stood beside Mary, a woman of great scandal. And that innkeeper, sure, didn't have any room, but said, "Let me make you some room. I'll find some room for your safekeeping tonight." Ordinary people made choices that allowed something extraordinary to happen. Hope in the midst of hopelessness. Peace that rebukes war. Joy despite sorrow, and love. And love between all people. So once again, just as God did from the very beginning, once again, God doesn't come in and just fix the world and make everything easy for us. Once again, God relies on ordinary people to make choices born of our humility rather than our hubris. We can do that. We can stand beside people who the world would reject for being improper somehow. We can use our resources, we can empty our pockets to keep people sheltered, keep them alive. Those choices might not seem as grand or as magical as all of the angels singing on the plains, but they're just as consequential. Those choices are just as powerful, as holy, and as God-blessed. I don't know how much of this story is factually or historically accurate, but I know that it speaks the truth. Our lives are more important than we usually dare to believe. Take the dare. You will end up looking as foolish as a kid stuck to a flagpole. I guarantee it. But when you do, maybe your tongue gets hurt a little bit, but someone else's tongue gets the water it needs, the food their belly needs, the human recognition and cessation of violence that we all need. So take the dare with the humility of Mary. Take the dare to believe that God is once again working through ordinary people like us. Ponder the good news you have received from God in your heart. Ponder it. Hold the love that is as weighty and squirmy and squiggly as the little ones we have here tonight. Hold that love that is newborn and filled with promise. Hold it in your arms. Feel that weight. And then let all of us together, let all of us together make some room in our lives. Whatever little dusty corner of our hearts, little dusty corner of our rooms, make some room so that that love can grow and flourish again. Amen, and Merry Christmas.